This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was published back in July of the year 2020, and it's being put on audio in the month of April of the year 2024. So that's not quite 4 years ago that this message was published. And the reason why I'm giving you the dates is because sometimes during the messages, I may make reference to some people, places, things, or events that took place at the time that the message was published that may or may not be relevant today. However, when it comes down to the Word of God, it is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. And those of you that are exposed to it, you would do well and be wise to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly to it. Now, our passage of scripture for this message is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 10, and verse number 38. And as I said, this is for July of 2020. And if you have the scriptures available, you can find these words recorded. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." The title for this message asks the question, are you a sino? Sino spells C as in Charles, I as in Indian, N as in November, O is in October. Sino. And what that actually represents is asking the question, are you a Christian in name only? In these days and times in which we live, there is an ongoing urgency for, as most of us could support, there to be less hatred and division in this nation and the world. The goal is to have our lives to be in harmony with each other for the sole purpose of bringing about a sort of utopian era where there is only peace and tranquility. And I'll put love in there too. It's not in this message written down, but I'm adding that in there. Gone is hatred, racism, jealousy, envy, and all of the other trappings that lead one to pursue the paths of destruction and war. Great men like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. emphasized this goal in his famous I Have a Dream speech. The Reverend Jesse Jackson started a movement in which he emphasized the idea of finding common ground, which sought to be able to find and support those things that we all as human beings have in common, while at the same time turning from those things that divide us. Several activist groups have sprouted up in the past few decades that have latched onto these ideals and have begun to implement steps to hopefully begin putting an end to those things which seem to divide us. Now, while this may sound like a good idea, there is a danger that most of us do not see. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse number 12, and Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 25, both of these scriptures are worded exactly the same, and they say, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." What it is addressing is the fact that man, in his limited knowledge, can get to a point where, using that knowledge, can come up with logical solutions to the problems he is facing that seem to be the end-all answer. But as time goes on, it proves to be just another case of taking one step forward and getting knocked two steps back, where you end up worse off than where you were originally started from. This is because, since our knowledge of all things is woefully limited, then we can't expect to find a solution to our problems without all of the facts. If we go back in history, we will find example after example where solutions that man came up with to solve his problems back then have been proven to be archaic at best and downright deadly at the extreme end. I can recall sitting in the dentist chair having teeth pulled and root canals done, and I thank God that I wasn't living in a time before these procedures became as advanced as they are today. Can you imagine having to endure the type of procedure without an anesthetic? What about surgery? Or having to have a limb amputated? These are just a few of the multitudes of examples where, as time marches on, knowledge increases and the old solutions have very little, if any, relevance to the solutions that we have today. Well, if you can understand that, then you can probably understand this message, because it is based on the same premise. In our search to reach a utopian existence, one of the first things that we have to seek to do is to eliminate those things that divide us. After all, if we are to live together in harmony, we have to grab hold of those things which unite us, while at the same time rejecting those things which, as I said, divide us. But as I said earlier, while this is an honorable way of doing something to achieve this goal, it is going to lead you to a disaster. And why is this? Because we do not see the whole picture as to why things are the way that they are. Now, when I say the whole picture, I am referring to the fact that we do not see the things the way that God sees them. And as long as we come up with solutions based on all of our limited knowledge, it will not work. Since God is in control of everything, and since He knows everything, then He is the one that we need to seek for the solution to our problems. He knows what is going to happen the next minute, the next hour, tomorrow, and years from now, because He has planned it. This then leads to the reason that this message is entitled the way that it is. If you will notice the subject verses, you will see something right away that is divisive. Jesus is saying to His followers, if you love your father or mother more than Me, you are not worthy of Me. He then goes on to say, if you love your children more than Me, you are not worthy of Me. What He is saying here is one of the most revealing things that a lot of Christians have no idea that came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. What He is essentially saying is, if you let your love for your mother, father, or child overrule your obedience to Him, then you are showing Him that you care more for them than you do Him. And as a result, you could end up being rejected by Him during this life or even eternity. What you see here is Jesus being divisive, and it is directed not at friends and associates, but at the immediate family members, those that are closest to you. Now, if He is going to tell you that is the way you should be toward your own family, then what do you think He has to say about your allegiance to people outside of your family? Christians, in most cases, tend to make decisions about who and what to support based on a consensus of what tends to unify and not divide us. And this flies in the face of what Jesus says that we should be looking at. Take a look at these statements made by Him. In Matthew chapter number 10, verse starting at verse number 34, He says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Verse 35, For I am come to set a man at variance with his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Verse number 36, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Interestingly enough, this passage of scripture leads into our subject verses. If you read them all together, you will get the message that when it comes to seeking peace with others, you will inevitably end up compromising your obedience to him because he is the number one instigator of divisiveness, because he is at war with the evil that comes from man's attempt to accomplish something that only he, Jesus, can. Consequently, those Christians that buy into the notion that compromise is called for in order to maintain or obtain peace with everyone else are essentially denying what Christ is saying and pursuing a path that will ultimately lead to their destruction. And as Jesus said, they are not worthy of him. This is where the term Christian in name only, or Sino, comes from. Anyone can call themselves a Christian. However, it is what they say and do that really defines what they really are. A Christian, in a nutshell, is a follower of Jesus Christ, and as such is committed to being obedient to him. That means whatever he says, we are willing to listen to and do, irrespective of what family, friends, or associates tell us. The mere fact that we are willing to take this position is going to result with these other people calling us divisive, troublemakers, intolerant of others and their beliefs, and a whole lot more. But what did Jesus say about this? He tells us to rejoice and be of good cheer, because the same things happened to the prophets of old as well as him. You can't be in any better company than that. As a whole, the world is ungodly, and as such, they reject anything that God has to say. They hold anyone in high esteem that seeks to unite us according to what they consider to be right and wrong. And of course, what they consider to be right and wrong is based on a consensus of the particular day and time in which the things are being taken into consideration. This is why, over the past decades, we have seen a shift in these parameters. Certain activities which at one time were considered intolerable are now accepted as normal, while at the same time, what was once normal has now come into question, especially as it pertains to what God says is right and wrong. To put it quite frankly, we have gotten to a place where whatever God has to say, the world takes the opposite viewpoint. That is why in this nation, we can legalize the killing of over 72 million babies while at the same time decrying capital punishment as being immoral. Now, here's an example. Like I said, when I wrote this, it was 72 million babies. Now the number has gone up to over 77 million babies in 2024. That's 1.5 million babies per year from the time that it was legalized back in 1972 by the Supreme Court. So we're up to 77 million babies being aborted every day, and nobody has a problem with that. But when somebody is getting put on death row for murdering someone, we say that that's immoral. Well, back to the message. Consequently, anyone that chooses to stand on what God says is going to be viewed as being divisive. And as a result, they are to be rejected and ridiculed. And the bad thing about it is that most churches are going along with this nonsense. Churches have started ordaining homosexuals and lesbians, and by that I mean unrepentant, as pastors and bishops, even though God calls their actions abominable. That is because these churches have accepted the idea that God made them the way that they are and they cannot change. And where did they get this idea from? From the world's gods, talking about the psychologists, the psychiatrists, the sociologists, and scientists. Every time you hear what a true man of God says is right and wrong, the world responds with the idea that this man is denying what scientists say is right and wrong. Putting what man says above what God says, or to put it another way, trying to make God nothing more than man with all of his faults. Talking about all of man's faults. In other words, we're trying to make God appear to be just like we are. Go to read Romans chapter number 1, verses 20 through 32. They have even taken to rewriting the Bible to make it say what they think and passing it through to those same churches. The result is all those that attend those churches are thinking that they are Christians for no other reason than they following what the world says a Christian is supposed to be, and rejecting the divisiveness of what Jesus Christ says a Christian is. Those who choose to remain with those corrupted churches can call themselves Christians all they want. But when the time comes, Jesus will tell them, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." You can find that in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 23. Well, that is the end of this message, and I hope that you got something out of it and realize this, that our problem with the wars and everything else, with people hating each other and the like, and all of the envy and jealousy and stuff that's going on, all of that is of the devil. But at the same time, that's where our problem comes in with Christ talking about what we need to do is put Him first and disregard what the world, or what we are told by the world, the ungodly, the scientists, the sociologists, the psychiatrists, and the psychologists, and the consensus of the, what you would call the democracy of our situation here in the United States, and things where the majority, whatever the majority decides, that will, that's what we're supposed to go along with. You can go along with them if you want. But you know, it's just like my mother used to ask me a long time ago. I mean, she didn't ask me, she would tell me, when I used to come in from playing outside with my friends, about when the street lights come on or something like that, while some of my friends could stay out 2 hours later and things, I was always having to come in early and so forth, and I asked her about that. And she told me, she said, well, if everybody else went up on the Empire State Building and jumped off, you want to go up there and jump off too? And I said, well, no, I don't want to do that. She said, well, that's what following after trying to do everything that you see other people doing, that's basically about the same thing that's happened. But I didn't understand it as a child then, because I'm just looking at the fact that my friends were out there having fun and I'm stuck in the house. But I had homework and stuff to do. But you know, that's one of the other situations that would come up about that. And then she would hit me with this other thing sometime when I asked her about it. I said, well, my friends can stay out. How come they can stay out and I can't stay out? She said, because I'm not their mama. In other words, what she was telling me, if she was their parent, she would have them in the house too. Now, their parents can do what they want to do with their kids, but she was going to have me in the house when she said be in the house, irrespective of what was going on with my friends and things out there. That's just the way she was. Well, in the same aspect, if you can see that and have no problem with something like that, then you shouldn't have any problem with Jesus saying what He's telling His people. Not the world now, but His people, Christians, what they need to be doing and how to go about doing it. And naturally, it's going to put them in a position where they're going to be persecuted. But as Jesus said in one passage of Scripture, He says that the servant is not greater than his master. And then He goes on to say, if they have persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And mind you now, Jesus was God in the flesh. In other words, if you are part of the family of God, a true born-again Christian, then if they're persecuting you, they're persecuting your Father, God, and your elder brother, Jesus Christ. And you should know that God's not going to tolerate it. Hence, we see all the trouble that we have going on in the world today. So, as I said, you can go around and call yourself a Christian if you want. But unless you buckle down and do according to what Jesus says and take the stance towards everybody, not just everybody in the world, but those in your own household when necessary, then you are not worthy of him, my friend. And you're in a dangerous place, because you're going to think you're all right and you aren't going to want to change. And when you leave here and stand before him and he dispatches you to hell, just remember this message. You were warned and you didn't want to accept it. So play your little game. Call yourself a Christian if you want. But just be aware of that fact. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing this message, as I always do, by saying, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together again next time. Have a good day. God bless you. And I'm out of here. Good day.